You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, we cover down on all of it. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday. It is Wednesday all day long. And that means it's time for the camel.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Every time. I love that.
Every time.
Hey, Boomer.
It just makes us better.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm awesome now. I got to hear the camel. We may have to play it again later.
We may have to.
I just enjoy it.
You know what? If we want to play that camel all day long, we just can't.
Puts a smile on my face.
You doing good?
I'm doing good. Little man had a game last night, and he did great.
He did great. So what you're saying is he was the star of the team. Everybody else, not so much.
He did good, I'll say. We had our chats afterwards, you know, just to rough him up a little bit and say, hey, you did good, but what could you have done better, buddy?
Oh, God. No participation trophies in this family.
No way, Jose.
None. Oh, man. Was it good, though? Beautiful night for
beautiful
it?
Beautiful night. It was nice.
There's nothing. Do the lights come on? Do they play the lights on the field?
They do play with lights on the field.
There's nothing like lights on the field.
Oh, man. Baseball light. It's awesome.
Yeah,
baseball lights. Any under the lights.
I love Friday night football.
Yes.
Lights in the stadium. It's just a totally different world.
Did you go home, see the geese?
I went home, and Charlene, I came in, and sure enough, there were two spatulas by the back door.
Oh, no.
And I said, geese? And she goes, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yard buzzards is all they are. Okay, hey, that's enough of that. We got a great show laid on for you. And a last minute, I just called her right for the show. Our friend Terry Lathan, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, she was there today. They had the first big public hearing on the School Choice Act. I don't think they took any action on it. I think they just had a public hearing. But nonetheless, the hearing was this morning. She was there. She was one of the first speakers. And so I just called her a minute ago. I said, hey, could you call in and give us an update? Because it fits in with what I'm doing otherwise on the show. And she said, absolutely. So she'll be on with us at 2:30. And then at 4 p.m. today, it is Wednesday. It is hump day. That means we have the Grand Council. So, yeah, Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson both going to be on the air with me at 4 o'clock, talking through various issues, pinging each other with questions, seeing how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but it's always good, and we always love each other when it's done. So, anyway, 4 o'clock, Grand Council. Stay tuned for that. And then we got the Triple Dipper. Hit it, bud.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know. Well, today is going to be a day we're going to cook up a batch of home fries. So coming right out the gate, we'll be spending some time giving you updates on things that are happening right here in your backyard. All right, so we got to stay in tune. It's so easy to get lost in, you know, Fox News or Newsmax or wherever your sources are, and all you pay attention to is what's happening on the world stage or up in D.C. There's stuff that happens right here in our backyard, right here in our state, that has every bit as much impact on our lives, and we got to stay in tune with it. So number one, Triple Dipper, home fries. And then number two, adventures in woke world. God, my gosh, I got a slate of them. I think I could do the whole show on just the documents I've got for that one.
You have a plethora, like you
would
say.
Oh, you got one of my words.
A lot.
That's one of my favorite Scrabble words. All right, so yeah, I got a plethora, a cornucopia, a buffet, a vast abundance, if you will. Oh, my Lord. I got a lot of them. So, yeah, adventures in woke world. Stay tuned for number two on the Triple Dipper. And then the third one, I'm just calling it Face Them Down. There's a audio clip that I've got that we'll hear later on that Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire. Well, I've got several pieces that talk about how you handle confrontational liberals. But then Matt Walsh did it so well, so well, that I've got an audio clip of him dealing with the Tennessee State Legislature on whether or not they should allow transgender treatments on minors. And, man, he just dismantled them. and he did it with class. So we're going to talk about how to face them down. That's number three on the Triple Dipper. So let me touch base now on my opening comments. And I'll just open up by saying my daughter is brilliant. My daughter is brilliant. She had a notion recently, and she checked it out, and she sent some information to me, and it blew my mind, to be honest with you. But I couldn't figure out whether the information represents a deep-rooted irony or just a blatant hypocrisy. So for something to be considered ironic, it usually has to mean there's, like, you know, some state of affairs exists that seems deliberately contrary to what one would expect, and it can often be found to be sort of humorous. But for something to be hypocritical, there's generally like a moral standard or some position that one espouses to others while doing just the opposite. Either one is when an opposite position is the outcome of what you expect. But irony is generally unintentional, while hypocrisy, well, that's just a lie by another name, and it would be intentional. So back to my daughter. She texted me the other day and said something to the effect that so often those who support the Green New Deal, carbon offsets, global warming, all of that they are often more liberal in a variety of other topics as well. Makes sense. And it would be reasonable, she pointed out, to assume that someone who supports radical means to address fears of climate change is also someone who is more likely to support the transgender agenda or gun control or abortion or the legalization of marijuana. It's not hyperbole on my part, it's just a fact. It's a reasonable assertion that liberals tend to be supportive of broader liberal agendas. I mean, certainly there may be those who are not supportive of one liberal talking point but supportive of another, but generally speaking, it's fair to assume that liberals are supportive of liberal causes in the broad sense. I mean, wouldn't you expect then that the same folks who clamor for marijuana legalization would also be putting up posters of Greta Thunberg and celebrating AOC's renewed attempt to push her green agenda? I would think so. Which makes the information that my daughter sent me even more ironic or hypocritical, depending on how you look at it. So here's the deal. It seems that a recent study by Colorado State University has determined that the United States' $13 billion, with a B, billion-dollar cannabis industry is taking a huge environmental toll in the form of the ultimate sin, greenhouse gas emissions. Say it's not so. Save us, Greta Thunberg, save us. The study shows that the greenhouse gas emissions from cannabis production, attributed to things like electricity for grow farms and natural gas for climate controls and high-intensity grow lights and carbon dioxide emissions for accelerated growth, they all create massive spikes in electrical consumption. Huh. Even to the extent that just in the Denver area alone, cannabis cultivation consumed roughly 4% of the total electricity consumption for the year 2018. And a review of the study, the same study, in Smithsonian Magazine, it concluded that growing 1 ounce of pot, just 1 ounce of pot indoors, can emit as much carbon as burning a tank of gas in your horrible old carbon-emitting, fossil-fuel-burning, soon-to-be-banned automobile. Horrors! This cannot be! But let's just chalk it up to an unfortunate irony. I mean, surely the tree huggers didn't mean to blast a hole in the ozone and accelerate the extinction of polar bears by growing their favorite blend of ganja weed. So they want us to do away with our gas stoves, switch to electric vehicles, scale down our appliances, put diapers on cows and eat bugs. But meanwhile, the same crew calling for nationwide legalization of marijuana and drastic measures on climate alarmism are now faced with a dilemma. Can they still call for both? Can they see the data I just cited and know in their heart of hearts that they are a part of the problem and still support both sides without remorse? Can they have their cannabis farms and their demands for legalization of marijuana and still support the Green New Deal? Well, now that they know, now that they've been made aware, surely they will call for the curbing of the growth of cannabis growth. Don't hold your breath. You see, realizing the irony and choosing not to act upon it is the basis for hypocrisy, and the left is filled with hypocrites. We so often see a do as I say, not as I do. A good for me, but not for you kind of mentality. And we see it all the time. I mean, liberals will tell you things like the elementary school-aged children that you're trying to raise should be allowed to give solo consent to have their bodies mutilated and their gender reassigned, whether or not parental support is given. But they will tell you in the same breath that parents should have no say, no choice at all in what school their child goes to. Huh. Parents have a say, parents don't have a say, kids have the say, who? How about this? John Kerry and Al Gore lecture us on the climate while flying in private jets to Davos to call for more climate activism with other so-called world leaders. Or New York Governor Kathy Hochul recently called to eliminate gas stoves and all new construction in her state altogether, while images on her Facebook page show that she has a gas stove in her own residence. On other fronts, Congresswoman Cori Bush, she calls to defund the police and establish draconian gun control laws, while also, by the way, paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for private armed security. Because she's important. And it was also being paid to her husband, so that makes it okay. Or how about when President Trump was banned from social media for allegedly espousing misinformation? But yet now we find out that Biden's Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, he's the one, while he was working for the Biden campaign, who helped to create the infamous letter that was signed by former U.S. intelligence officials that served as a basis to quash the story about the Hunter Biden laptop. Where's the misinformation now? But then there's California Governor Gavin Newsom, the king daddy of irony and/or hypocrisy. I mean, where to begin here? He issues major pandemic lockdowns. He declares California a sanctuary state. He bans official travel to multiple other states because they have conservative lawmakers. And then he's caught having a secret dinner without masks at an expensive restaurant during the lockdowns with high-dollar lobbyists. And he most recently called out his National Guard to help with fentanyl streaming across his sanctuary border. And he takes a personal vacation to Montana, despite the fact that it was on his banned states list. Right. I gotta be honest with you, man. My irony meter is pegged out. But the reality is that so much of what we see in the liberal agenda is an ironic mess. They don't even realize sometimes the disparities in their thinking and the agendas they push for. But when they do realize it, and I believe that many already knew when they first shouted out their original demands, when they do realize it, they are then faced with a dilemma of choosing to amend their ways or just remain content to be a hypocrite. Irony versus hypocrisy. They often go hand in hand. But then again, the other definition of the word irony is that it's a part of Greek tragedies. And that kind of fits. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Irony versus hypocrisy, man. It's hard to distinguish them sometimes. But the irony is supposed to be accidental, and when you discover it, you move away from it. Hypocrisy, that's when you recognize the irony and you decide to go ahead and hang on to it anyway because you're a liar. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Camel Day, Hump Day, midweek. You made it halfway to the weekend, so congratulations on that. And we are moving forward right now. The text lines are already open and the texters are already texting. So yeah, 833-687-4448. That's the number, 833-687-4448, or otherwise known as 833-68-RIGHT. So I got to tell you, right out the gate, we're going to do Adventures in Woke World later, but I cannot help but notice that one of the top stories out there right now on FoxNews.com is that the Dylan Mulvaney saga continues. Like, apparently, Bud Light, Nike, and Kate Spade, you know, they all have been living through the blowback they've been getting from conservatives for having, you know, this dude who thinks he's a chick.
Right.
Guess who the new one is, Boomer?
There's another one now?
Oh, it's a major company.
Oh, no.
Maybelline Makeup.
What?
Maybelline. Okay,
did they not even just see what has happened with these other companies right before they do this?
Just, I would have to think they did.
Man.
I just look at it and go, what the heck? So at this point right now, I would bet if Maybelline came out publicly and said, we're not doing the Dylan Mulvaney thing, so stop asking. They would have all kinds of new consumers, I would think.
Oh, I would bet there would be, because all the women would be like, thank you. He is not a woman. I am. I'll just buy your makeup just because you did that.
I know. People who don't even wear makeup and go buy makeup.
Exactly.
It's like I said the other day with Goya Foods. They said, you know, they said, no, go pound sand. Told the liberals what to do. Liberals called for a boycott of Goya Foods. Guess what? More people bought black beans in the next, their sales went up 22% in the next quarter.
Just watch. There you go, guys.
People who don't even eat black beans were eating black beans.
Man.
I mean, you would put makeup on. You'd buy Maybelline makeup yourself.
Buy Maybelline makeup, and I'll just give it to my wife.
There you go. All right.
Just to support them.
Fair enough. it's there, man. We are at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party right now. Just saying. So that's top story right now on FoxNews.com. We got plenty more where that came from, because it's a woke world out there right now.
Woo!
What was that movie? It was Mad World.
It was back in the day. Yeah,
that was a hilarious movie, a classic. So the text line, I will tell you, there's a few things on that text line already. David from Huntsville just said, Fox News is Bud Light. Okay. Ike from Somerville says, happy hump day, Phil. Yeah, I said, I agree. Thank you, man. Brian from Athens, what did he just text me? Ah, he sent me a camel gif. Happy hump day, he says. You are right, man. We have to play the camel again here in a minute. This is getting to be a thing. Anita from South Huntsville. Okay, she sent me a paragraph. What'd she say? Conservatives need to realize that the hypocrisy on the left is not a bug. It's a feature. It's a power move. It's a flex. They are demonstrating they can make the rules and that they can do whatever they want, and we get to sit and take it. They are well aware of the double standards, and we need to stop giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're just blind to it or out of touch. She does not like the irony discussion. It's all hypocrisy. There's occasionally irony, Anita, but I do believe that most of it's hypocrisy. And then John from Huntsville texted in. He's all about that NBA bracket, and apparently you're doing well.
I'm doing well, except I think he said my chances of the $1 million have gone kaput.
Oh, there's that.
It's okay.
Here, I thought you were going to underwrite the next year of Right Side Radio.
I was going to, but now I can't.
Robert from Madison says, okay. Golly. Robert from Madison, with regards to my monologue a minute ago, he says, can't wait to get stoned while I ride my diaper-wearing cow to the lithium mine for batteries to back up the wind turbines to power my pot farm next to the paper straw factory. Let me read that again, because that was as good. He says, can't wait to get stoned while I ride my diaper-wearing cow to the lithium mines for batteries to back up the wind turbines to power my pot farm next to the paper straw factory. Wow. Okay. JT from Lacey Springs says, with all the assets available, apparently the cannabis growers are too naive to garden their product outdoors. Well, you know, it's about efficiency, because it's not a matter of whether we actually grow life-sustaining food sources. No, it's all about the pot farms. Gotta have those indoor grow lights in the climate-controlled conditions. Come on. Jeff from Indiana, I knew somebody would say this when I wrote it. He says, I said, don't hold your breath. He says, Phil, how do they hold their breath after they take a toke? And I said, it's another story for another time, Jeff. And he says, you're not taking into consideration, by the way, that drag queens buy makeup too, and lots of it. Well, that is true. Lots of it. And then Brandon from Athens says, what is going on, LOL? It ain't all laughs, though, is it, though? I'm telling you, it's real. This stuff's real. We're going to deal with it. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back with Terry Latham, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Hey.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, it's that time, all right? So the Triple Dipper today, and we're about to bring on my friend Terry Latham, but the Triple Dipper, you know, occasionally we do this. We got to stay focused on where we are. We can't get so caught up in the national news and what's happening around the world that we forget that right here at home, there's news, and it's things that impact us. And so with that said, periodically, we run a segment here on the Triple Dipper, and I just called it Home Fries. We're going to cook up. There it is. Boomer was quick to throw it on for me. Dang, Boom.
I took a guess and I was wrong.
Let me guess. You're using a gas stove, too. Let's do it one more time. So cooking up some home fries. Perfect. Perfect. Just like that. All right. Well, hey, listen, I called her right before the show and said, hey, I know you got nothing else going on in your life. My friend Terry Latham, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, is very active right now in supporting measures regarding school choice, including the Price Act, which is the one that we've talked about that is the Cadillac bill for school choice that's currently before the Alabama legislature. And folks, I'm telling you, we're ranked one of the last in the nation. It is time to stop pretending that doing the same old is going to get it done. Well, this morning they had the first public hearing on the Price Act, and my friend Terry Latham was there. She was a speaker, and I thought, I'm going to see if she's available, and she is. So without further ado, Terry Latham, how you doing?
I am doing great, and thanks for the opportunity. Listen, we had a great day in Montgomery today. The Senate Policy Committee that we were in front of, it was a packed room, Phil.
Yeah.
Of Republicans from around the state, north, south, east, and west. They represented the state party, the county parties, the women's auxiliary groups, and then parents just from all over. Look, some of these people spent the night in Montgomery last night to be at this hearing. Some people got up and they told me they drove at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning to be there at that 9 o'clock hearing today. That's dedication. That's what happens when you're talking about your children.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very big motivator, right? So I'd like to report it was a very successful meeting. The senators heard us. They were very cordial and very warm. I was one of the five speakers for, and there were five against. I would say most of those were lobbyists or associations and, you know, heads of those groups. And it went really well. And so at the end of it, there were some questions asked, but it was a public hearing. There were no votes taken, but they did request it now to move over to a different Senate committee. That's the taxation and finance education policy. So we've now been moved to a different committee.
Yeah, I saw that in a tweet, and I thought, that's a bit odd. You don't usually refer from one committee to another. You have to go back to the floor of the Senate and do what's called a re-referral. Okay. Well, I guess the one disappointment I have here is they had the hearing, and then those who heard the hearing took no action and referred it to another committee. So that's a little frustrating.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But our people are like, okay, we will be glad to come back, and this time maybe with more. We will be glad to call and share what the polling, by the way, that across the state, we've seen some strong numbers that not only say politically Republicans, Democrats, and independents, overwhelmingly across the board, want school choice,
yeah.
and they want to use state taxpayer dollars. They're not opposed to that at all. And not only that, but when you look at the cross-tabbing of race, white and black people in the state of Alabama both say the same thing. So we are glad to work with our elected officials. They've done some great work in Montgomery. And so we're starting this conversation, we're going to finish this conversation, and we're going to keep going until we can see where can we get.
Well, so
but it's coming. It's coming one way or the other, but we're trying to figure that all out. And I'm excited about that prospect because I can tell you right now, as in March of this year, just a month ago, there were 22 state legislatures, 22
yeah.
across the nation, the red, blue, and purple states that have this type of committee hearings, legislation flowing across the desk, going to the floors. So this is that's a message. It's, I mean, it's not an accident. This is a message.
No, I totally agree, and I think that that's an accurate representation of the fact that this is a national movement. It's happening right here in Alabama, and it needs to. I mean, here we are, you know, dragging ourselves through the bottom of the polls or the bottom of the scores every year for education. And it's a clear indication, despite the fact that we're spending more and more money, and more money than a lot of other states, but yet we rank below them, that that there's got to be something different we can do with the money. So let me ask you this. Senator Stutz, Larry Stutz, is the bill sponsor in the Senate. Does he sit on the other committee that will receive the bill, or is he going to be speaking to a committee on which he does not have a seat?
He does not sit on that committee.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not a hang-up, but even still, it helps.
Right, right. Several of the committee members that heard us today at the public hearing, I think there's two or three that do sit on it. But I will tell you this, and I wish I could say his name. I need to learn it, but my back was to one of the senators. He actually spoke up at the end, one of our Republican senators, and basically said, listen, I'm in the real estate world. The first thing people ask me when they're looking for a place to live, Phil, you probably know what they ask the real estate agent.
Oh, yeah.
What type of schools, what are my schools zoned for? And he said that is a problem. He sees it across the board. He said, I am for this bill. He said, because I'm living it, I'm watching it, I'm listening to people in these districts, that zip codes are defining our education. And so we were real glad to hear him speak up. I will tell you this, when the five of us spoke, the whole room was heavily exploding in applause.
Yeah.
When the five lobbyists and association members, and they're welcome to their opinion, they're being paid to do this, not a word, crickets in the room.
Ah.
And that's fine. Oh, it was beautiful. I mean, look, we had a really good, productive day. I'm thankful for everyone that came. But I think we're going to get somewhere. We just got to figure out how, when, and where.
Well, now the next step then is to get it set for a hearing. And maybe this was a dress rehearsal. But, you know, the other side will also look at it and recognize the number of supporters you had in the room, and they'll try to get their side out. So I can imagine some of the hyperbole you heard from the opponents to the bill. The AEA one of the speakers, the teachers union?
AEA was the last speaker, and I'm sure she's a lovely person, but she seemed, in my opinion, a little prickly. That's the word I'll use.
A little prickly?
Yes, that's my kind word. She seemed a little frustrated having to do this, but that's my opinion. And there were some things that were said that I would disagree with. I wish we had had rebuttal, because there was a whole lot of that. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to ask, other than if you're a paid lobbyist, which is fine, if you're on school time, there were some gentlemen from the Montgomery Public Schools and some gentlemen, I believe, from the Albertville area. Are you on your vacation time, or are you on the taxpayer dollars coming here to debate taxpayer dollars? I'm going to see if I can find the answer to this question.
Yeah, that'd be curious.
I have an issue with that. Is that an ethics problem? I'm not sure. Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to investigate that a little bit.
I think it's worth knowing. Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate you on short notice. Hey, I'm going to zing you with a question you didn't expect on a totally separate topic.
Oh, goody. Go for it.
Because that's what I do. All right. No, but
that's what you do.
So since you are, in fact, a real woman.
Today I am identifying as a real woman, so go ahead.
All right. Just right before the show, I noticed that Maybelline has joined the Dylan Mulvaney Express, and they have now got Dylan Mulvaney, a transgender, modeling their makeup for women, and I just couldn't help but ask the former chair of the Republican Party what her thoughts are.
Now I'm really
since you're a real woman.
Because the pink, you won't know this, the women listening well, the pink bottle with the green top Maybelline, in my opinion, is the best mascara in the nation. Now what am I going to go do? This is stupid. This is ridiculous. Are they not watching Bud and Bud Light?
That's what we were wondering.
Cow.
What the heck, fellas?
Well, y'all, look, these boardrooms can go make themselves feel good up in New York City and on the San Francisco coast, high five at this kind of stuff if they want. Real America is just pushing back on this and going, quit throwing this in our face. Okay, fine. We'll go buy somebody else's stuff. And that's fine, too. But this is I can't wait for 2024. That's all I've got to say.
I'm with you.
I've got a voting booth I got to get to.
I'm with you, real woman sister. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, listen, keep us posted. As soon as you hear that they're setting that education bill for another committee meeting. By the way, is it moving in the House yet? Do you know?
Haven't heard anything on that. I have to tell you, I think everyone's watching to see, all right, what happened on the first step. But we showed up strong today. It was a really good day. I'm proud of all our folks and the people that traveled all over the state. And we'll just start hit reset. We're going to go again.
Okay.
Sometime, somehow, somewhere soon, we are going to get this done. That
right.
I'm confident of.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I know with your leadership it can work, and I appreciate you being in the mix on it. So
thank you.
So
yes,
Terry Lathan, former chair of the Alabama Republican Party, thanks for making time for us.
Yes, sir, always.
All right. Well, we will take a break right now and come right back. That was just round one of Home Fries, and we may have to hear the sizzle again when we get back, Boomer. I'm just thinking. Makes me hungry. We're in number one, the Triple Dipper, Home Fries. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we are in number one of the Triple Dipper. That last little discussion that we had with Terry Lathan regarding school choice and what's happening with the Price Act, well, that was part of, you ready, Boomer? That was part of cooking up some home fries. Nice. Nice. Hey, I'll turn to the text line real quick. Got a few. Tom over in Tanner says, Phil is going to seriously hurt himself saying Mississippi. Mississippi! Thanks, Tom. Kenneth from Hartzell says, thank you so much for that conversation with Terry. She's an intelligent and great leader. All right, thank you, man. I appreciate that, and I agree. Rita from Scottsboro says, I will never wear anything from Maybelline again. There you go, Rita. That's right, because real women don't need Maybelline. Only fake women, apparently. Okay, we'll wait and see how Maybelline sales go.
I'm interested.
I'm curious.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. That's women's stuff, right? So, and then of course Bud Light is, I guess technically is not man or woman, although it was kind of a dude's thing, really. But so what? All right. If you and I were talking, this is a total aside, Boomer. What if there was some product line that like dudes rely on, like something that we like a dude thing.
I mean,
and Dylan Mulvaney became,
a sponsor for Winchester.
Oh,
or something of that nature.
Smith & Wesson.
I'd be done.
I'm hawking some guns at that point. I'm down at the pawn shop seeing how much I can
get for them.
They haven't
thought this through yet, I guess, if they want to get rid of
it. So, gun control.
That's how they...
That's what's going to happen. So, the gun control advocates are going to crush the Second Amendment by just having Dylan Mulvaney be the spokesperson for every one of their firearms.
That's what it would be.
That's awesome.
And that's not... Yeah, obviously, that's not just a man thing, but, I mean, generally, I mean, my wife doesn't necessarily like, you know...
Well, there's some shooting women out there.
There are. I have a couple of friends that are good.
Yeah, like...
good marksmen.
I'm pretty sure I could be embarrassed quite easily by some... all right, home fries, we're going to move along. We're going to probably go through the top of the hour with some things that are happening around your state, things you got to know. First of all, Yellowhammer News is reporting that the House of Representatives in Alabama has just approved the general fund budget. So just a quick reminder, if you don't know... in Alabama, we're one of the only states in the nation that does this. We have what's called a bifurcated budget. We have two budgets. Everything, most states have a budget, right? And the legislature is allowed to appropriate. And if you got a gap over here, you slide some over and fill it. And that's like what we do in our house, right? You don't keep two budgets. I mean, you may have multiple checking accounts or whatever, but the reality is you have a household budget. And if you knew for a fact, let's say husband and wife have two incomes, right? And the and the mortgage was due, but the husband's income was short and the wife's income wasn't and it could cover it, you're not going to say, well, we can't do that because it's in your checkbook, not in mine. It's your house. Well, in Alabama, we don't do that. Go figure. But the House has just approved the general fund budget, which is everything except education. All God's children are in the general fund budget except for education. So the House just approved a general fund budget, which is going to be a 6% increase over the previous year, 6%. And it will become the largest budget in state history. That's significant. Now, keep in mind, that's in conjunction with us asking for tax breaks, right? You've got more money than you've ever had. You're passing the biggest budget you've ever had. And by the way, it's going to the Senate, so it's not through yet. It's just through the House. But it passed the House on a vote of 105-0. It was only 105 members in the House. Every one of them voted yes. Okay. I find that to be a little bit curious because usually you have a few dissenters. Usually there's some, you know, partisan-based means by which you want to object. I mean, I've voted on multiple budgets before. I get it. I know it's, you can vote for it, but still, 105-0. That's significant. Must be a really darn good budget. But then at the same time, I hope that means that they recognize they've got so much money that somewhere in here there needs to be some tax relief for the citizens who send that money to Montgomery. Every state agency in Alabama requested an increase in their budget for 2024. You know why? Because they smelled increase. Like, there's more money. Ask for it. Among the notable increases included a $112 million hike to the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency. That's our state troopers and all. $836 million increase to Medicaid. Oh, boy. And a $662 million increase to the Department of Corrections. Holy smokes. All right. So there's that. Be aware, your budget, your state, your tax dollars, bigger than ever. Now, in the course of this discussion, I just mentioned tax relief. One of the biggest forms of tax relief that we're looking at right now is potentially doing away with the grocery tax. Aside from the fact that Alabama is one of the only states in the nation that has split budgeting, we're also one of the only states in the nation that taxes groceries. Don't ask me why. We just do. Your milk and bread going to cost you more. And if you were to live on the Georgia state line, the Mississippi state line, the Tennessee state line, and you wanted to step across to buy your bread, I'm just saying it might be cheaper. At least 40% or 4 cents on the dollar. I'm sorry, not 40%. 4 cents on the dollar cheaper. But 1819 News reports that House Minority Leader Democrat Anthony Daniels, who's been on this show most recently, says there are serious conversations about eliminating state sales tax on groceries, more so than any year he's been in office. And I agree. I've never heard so much buzz about it. Daniels told the Business Council of Alabama's Government Affairs Committee on Tuesday morning, he says, I'm really excited about members of the legislature having conversations, including the lieutenant governor, who has a proposal he's pushing, and so we're certainly very excited about it and see what happens. He says, this is Daniels again. He said, I think we have to look at the elimination of the grocery tax. Same time, we have to make certain we're doing it in a way that doesn't cause us any long-term problems. In other words, what he's saying there is the old cautionary political statement of, well, we got to be careful because we might need that money in the future. Do you? You just passed the biggest budget ever. Daniels has been doing, I mean, I'll be honest with you, this is me talking now. Daniels has been doing a great job. I mean, he's the Democrat minority leader. He came on the show the other day talking about tax relief and getting people back to work and, you know, and increasing productivity and encouraging folks to get back in the workforce. And I thought, is he a Democrat? Because he sounds a lot more like a Republican, more than some of our other Republicans. But I will say, tell you this, the grocery tax thing, what it's come down to now is definitions, just so you know. They got to figure out, how do we define what is, quote, grocery to relieve you of taxes? It won't be candy bars in the checkout line. It's going to be milk and bread and eggs and main staples. But then even then, there's two versions in the law we have, the WIC definition and the SNAP definition. The push right now is to get the SNAP definition. Even the Grocers Association said they want it that way. All right, folks, plenty more of home fries when we get back from this. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national, sometimes international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Do you have the hiccups?
They just came out of nowhere, like just now.
They're like controlling your whole body.
You see them just jump, me jumping? Yeah. That's me. That's the hiccups.
It's like somebody's poking you over there. All right. Hey, we're going to keep moving forward. You want to text on in while we go, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We're still in number one, home fries. Nice. So here's the next thing out there you might want to know, because a bill is about to become law unless the governor decides not to sign it. By the way, that's a technique. You can. The governor has choices. She can sign the bill. She can make requested amendments and send the bill back for further consideration, or she can just veto the bill outright. And then there's a thing we call the pocket veto. That's where she just sits on it and does nothing. And if it doesn't get signed within a certain period of time after the legislative session is over, it's considered what they call a pocket veto. That's the old phrase, meaning she basically put it in her pocket and walked off. Anyway, we'll see what she does here. But the Alabama legislature, as of today, it's being reported, has passed a bill to ban smoking or vaping in a vehicle in which children under the age of 14 are present. So, okay, part of me says, you know, kids shouldn't have to be in a vehicle with a bunch of cigarette smoke riding down the road. I get it. Vaping, I mean, I've never vaped in my life, so does vaping create secondhand issues too? Boomer, do you have any idea? I don't know.
I actually do not know.
Not a vapor.
Not a vapor.
You have a vapor, but you're not a vapor. But we all got vapors occasionally. Oh Lord, you give me the vapors. All right. So, but we now have a nanny state bill. That's where I have a problem with this. This is a nanny state bill. You know, this is getting way down in your business. Well, hello, Mr. Conducting a legal activity in your own vehicle. You can't do that as long as there's a 14-year-old there. How do we?
You can't control it.
Thank you.
At all. How do you enforce this? If you like, there's no way they can control that.
Yeah, I agree. And they do say it's going to be what's called a secondary violation, meaning if you get pulled over, and oh, by the way, you're speeding, and while they've got you, they say, and it appears you're smoking right now.
Well, how would they, I mean, other than if they're puffing right there, but I mean, how would they know? Because even in cars that have been smoked in before, that still resonates of smoke. So it's like,
it's got a vapor.
has that vapor. So it's like, oh, it appears you've been smoking. Well, yeah, I smoked yesterday, yeah. But my kid wasn't in the car. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. None of the ashtray cup there full of stubs and butts is, that's all old. That wasn't right. Today. Good luck with that. But then you also got the child sitting in the back seat. Ma'am, how old is your child? 15.
They look 7. No, they're 15, sir.
Well, I'm going to see some ID. Well, he's a minor. He doesn't have ID. This is going to be problematic. All I know is Democrat Rolanda Hollis, I didn't give this bill a snowball's chance, and daggum if it didn't pass. So it's going to Governor Ivey. She's very excited. She talks about how she has asthma, got in her husband's truck. He's a smoker, couldn't breathe, got out of his truck, and thought, I got to pass a bill. This is how bad bills happen. All right, so there you go. We're going to have somebody on the show very soon. I've been conversing with them about the rocket. Ta-da!
I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to this. So, by the way, I've seen there's some serious movement right now on Save the Rocket. And for those of y'all that don't know, we're talking about going up I-65. The rest stop at the I-65 near the Tennessee line going northbound is, or is it southbound? It's on the southbound. Which side is it on?
It's on the southbound side.
It's on the southbound side, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's right up there by the Tennessee line near Priceville, that area. They're talking about taking the rocket down. They're even talking about disposing of it. That's one of the only remaining Saturn V rockets in existence.
I'll take a piece.
Yeah, a piece?
If they're going to dispose of it.
This brings on a whole new idea.
Like, can we have each piece of the rocket?
Well, daggone, if they take it down, we better do that. But I say save it first.
Yeah, definitely save it.
Unless we can monetize this. No. But the reality is this. They're talking about taking it down. And there's a very strong grassroots movement brewing right now with some serious heavyweights behind it that are talking about, and we're going to have somebody on the show here very soon. I've already been in dialogue with the person, but I'll save that for later. But I will tell you, in terms of home fries, is right now Senator Tom Butler from Huntsville has just dropped in a bill, Senate Bill 237. It's planning on basically dealing with the rocket issue, and I can't begin to describe to you exactly what the bill does. You know, we already have a Monument Preservation Act in Alabama, and people always talk about it. It's for saving racist statues. No, it's not. It's for saving monuments. It's for when stupid stuff happens, like, oh, I don't know, you want to tear down the statue of Christopher Columbus. Well, he's a racist. Or when you want to change the name of a street that was named after Bear Bryant, for that matter. It's a monument. Anyway, I would argue, and I believe they are arguing in this bill, that the rocket is in fact a monument and needs to be protected. So Senator Butler, trying to confront the issue, has got a bill, Senate Bill 237, to address the rocket. It provides for protections. It provides for a replacement if they ever decide they had to take it down. I'll just be honest. I'm not sure his bill is the way to go. But he does have the right sentiment. He says it's an iconic symbol of things that we've contributed to the nation and the world, and he's gotten lots of positive feedback on the legislation. So I need to dig into it and make sure I understand fully what it does before I say yay or nay to it. But in the end, my hope is we're going to save that rocket. I'm still there. You're there too, obviously.
I'm all about it. And just wanted to correct you lightly that it is not a Saturn V. It is a Saturn 1B. That's what all the textures are saying.
Oh, my gosh. I did that last time, too. Okay, yesterday I couldn't remember somebody's name, and I got 57 texts that just flooded
instantly.
In. Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna start giving out the wrong text line just to save myself from the embarrassment of being corrected. I can take it. All right. Here's a not-so-good news. All right, this is one. It's home fries, but it's also so frustrating. So I will say this. In Alabama, we do have... we don't have laws on the books that are soft on crime the same way you see in other states. We don't have as much of an issue with Soros-funded DAs, although we do have one in the Birmingham area, that are out there trying to let people out of jail because they can. But we still have issues. And we have some mandatory early release laws that probably need to get looked at again now. And I look back and wonder, did I do anything when I was in the legislature that contributed to something like this? But it's an awful situation. 1819 News has a piece out. Headline, man out on mandatory release was rearrested for allegedly raping the same woman that he was convicted of assaulting in 2018. He should not have been on the street, y'all. Should not. Bless her heart. Says a man released from an Alabama prison because of the state's mandatory early release law has been rearrested for allegedly raping the same woman he initially assaulted in 2018. The dude's name is Ronald Coley. He's a piece of trash. He was arrested early this month for first-degree rape, domestic violence assault, and interfering with an emergency call. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office took him into custody. They say he was supposed to have been out with an ankle monitor, but here's what they said. But he didn't show up for his fitting. Now, let me ask you this. Postulate with me, Boomer. When you're looking at some of the folks that are being given early release possibilities for good time served or whatever, what is your impression of whether or not they are the most reliable people to show up for an appointment to get fitted for their ankle monitor?
Well, they're not. Why don't they just give them the ankle monitor before they leave?
Thank you. My point exactly.
Like, why are they trying to give them a date and time to come when they know that they're most likely not going to show up?
Yeah. Or at the very least, be certain by putting it on them before they walk out the door of the prison.
Even if it's just a loner.
This is not hard.
No.
They're making rocket science out of this. But yeah, the dude did not have an ankle monitor on. He pled guilty to domestic violence strangulation in January 2018. He was sentenced to a 10-year split sentence. Based on the state's recommendation, though, he was released on probation for time served. His probation was then revoked in May of 2020 because he tested positive for meth, marijuana, failed to check in with his probation officer. didn't complete drug testing or go through his drug reform classes. He waived his parole hearing in November of 22, but then he was later released due to the state's mandatory release law. He spent fewer than 2 years in confinement. He got out, and the first thing he did was rape the woman, and now he's back in jail. Shouldn't have happened. Should not have happened. Last one I got for you on Home Fries. So Shipt is the company in Birmingham, major corporation. Shipt is a Birmingham-based grocery delivery service. They've been on the woke list, I'll be honest. Very proud of their growth, but they're certainly on the woke list. And today they announced, it says a story on AL Daily News, came out yesterday, that they announced a $1 million pledge to Birmingham Promise, which is a foundation that was started, I believe, by Mayor Woodfin, that has the goal of helping local students, you know, get access to higher education, get tutors, help them to stay involved in school and finish their education. It's designed to basically just help kids through the educational process. The beef that I have with it is that it's designed to help kids of certain demographics or neighborhoods. Now, I understand underprivileged kids or kids from a disenfranchised background may have a harder time with school. I do. But when you start labeling scholarships by demographic or geographic areas, it sort of changes the dynamic. All that to say, though, it's still a neat thing. And I'm not carrying some kind of super beef with this, but I will say this. It's helped like $3.4 million in tuition assistance since 2020. 800 Birmingham graduates have been participants in the program. So that's kind of cool. So the article from AL Daily News talks about Shipt contributing $1 million to this. Very cool, like that. And then the article just shifted and took a little shine off the apple. Wanted to make sure that we understood that in 2022's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Report, released on Tuesday morning, that the estimates are that the company's senior leadership is 73% people of color, 64% women. And 47% of the women are also people of color. And then something like $13.9 million are spent with diverse suppliers that include minority and women-owned businesses. And they awarded $242,000 to 15 local companies through their grant programs to address food insecurity. I'm thinking, what does that got to do? Why was that necessary? I ask rhetorically, but why was that necessary? We have a great article about giving scholarships to help kids through school. And they weren't content to leave it there. Then they had to jump right into DEI and talk about why it's so important that they understand the diversity in their labor force. Take me to a break before I lose my mind. I think we're going to switch gears. We're going to come back from this one. Start getting into adventures in woke world. Oh, Lord, we got some wokeness. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world, one soundbite at a time. All right. You know, every once in a while, I'm going through this, and it's at least once a week. I mean, I could do more because there's a whole lot of wokeness out there. But every once in a while, I'm getting ready for the show in the morning, and I'm resource. We call it resourcing the show, and I'm sending the links over to Boomers Week and print them out so I can do highlighter and notes on them and get all this stuff ready. And I find myself going through, going, "That's the wokest thing I've." Oh my gosh, the level of wokeness! How much woke can there be? And I find myself suddenly in that moment when I know that I have a vast cornucopia, a plethora, a veritable buffet, if you will, an extreme extravaganza, a parade of wokeness. And now we have to do Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
Yeah, so right out the gate, I got to say, this one is as odd, not like any of them are not odd, but so the first story I got, this one came off of Fox. A Vermont school district has removed the words male and female from reproductive system lessons. I don't know how you do that. So I ain't no rocket surgeon. I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express. But I do believe that somewhere along the line, I understand if you're going to talk about reproductive systems, there's going to be male and female reproductive systems involved. That's just how this works. So a Vermont elementary school is reportedly removing the words male and female language from its fifth grade science lessons covering the human body, puberty, and reproduction. In a letter sent home to parents at the Founders Memorial School on April 20th, the principal announced that gender-inclusive language would now be used in the science and health unit. Well, apparently it's not science, and I would suggest their health is not that good. Teachers would now only use gender-inclusive language in these lessons in order to align our curriculum with our equity policies. Well, see, when you're teaching science, that means you shouldn't care rat squat for somebody's equity policies. There are going to be times when your notion of equity is not going to be upheld by the fact-driven aspects of science. All right, so terms like male and boy would be replaced with person who produces sperm. I kid you not. Likewise, female and girl would be replaced with a person who produces eggs. A person. Boomers give me the look like, don't attack the messenger, man. The look you're giving me right now. The organization called Parents Defending Education blasted the changes in a statement to Fox, saying, speaking about anyone in this way is dehumanizing in any context, but these new language rules specifically apply to a health unit for fifth graders about puberty and reproduction. It's clear that the school has decided to be derelict in their duty to educate students in the name of equity. And I totally agree. This is the madness that is consuming. And by the way, who is it they're trying to protect? What you got?
I was going to say, where are the parents?
Well, the parents are apparently ticked.
Okay, good. Parents are ticked. Good.
I'm going to bet you there's like three or four parents in the whole school that are like, this is good. We should do this.
If that.
Because little Johnny is 5 years old and he's known he's a girl ever since. But I'm just telling you, by the way, don't ever refer to me as the person who produces sperm. Just saying.
Don't ever.
If you text that in, I'm going to delete it. I may take you out of the texting system. God, I don't know, man. But it's just this madness. I mean, it's an adventure, but sometimes it's, you know, so I always say adventures in woke world, there's going to be stories that make you laugh, stories that make you roll your eyes, stories that then will try to also make you want to throw something at the radio or throw the radio itself. I got a stack of these, and I'm going to wait till we get back from the break to dive into the next one. Like, you know, here's the interesting thing that I think is needs to be talked about. I've got another story about the person who was hiding Bibles, like hiding them, keeping them away from people in the Arizona State House. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, so they planted a hidden camera. You will never believe who they found was hiding Bibles so that no one could see them. Like, putting them in the refrigerator and underneath couch cushions. Kid you not, Adventures in Woke World, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
I'm ready, sir.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Man, the text lines have blown up. I will go up to those in a moment, so y'all bear with me on that. Just keep on texting in. I think there's some good texts in here, I'll be honest with you. Wow. Okay. Arizona state lawmaker. So an Arizona state lawmaker who also is listed on her bio as being an ordained Presbyterian minister was recently caught on security cameras hiding Bibles. Like, so there's apparently, you can't make this stuff up. Story on Fox News, dated yesterday. So here's the deal. There's right off the floor of the Arizona State House, there's a members lounge where you can go and take a break. You can, you know, take a phone call, whatever you got to do. You step off the House floor, you know, conduct some business. And in that room, there are couches and chairs, and there's a refrigerator, and there's some, you know, in a sink area, all that kind of stuff. And so apparently there are two Bibles which are laid out and they are constantly on display. Like one's on a coffee table, I believe, and they've been there for years. And I think they're actually protected. I'm trying to find the place in the article that talked about why they are there. Anyway, the bottom line is this. They're considered property of the lounge area, and they're on permanent display. And yet, one day, somebody noticed they were gone. And then they found them under a couch cushion. And then another time, they came back, and they were gone again. And they found one of them in the refrigerator behind some stuff. Like, what? And so the State House security decided to do something about it. And they placed a temporary camera, unbeknownst to the members, in the lounge area to see what was up. And on April 10th, when the House members were in session, a third incident occurred, this time with a pair of Bibles in the lounge, once again going missing, and the security camera showed it was State Representative Stephanie Stahl-Hamilton, that's a hyphenated name, Stahl-Hamilton, a Democrat, an ordained Presbyterian minister, who was removing the books and hiding them under the sofas. She has not responded for comment.
Well, yeah, she's not going to respond.
Yeah.
What is she going to say? I would like to know what she's going
to
say.
I'd like to know what her church is going to say.
Yeah.
Is she actually a minister? And they're going to say, before you preach on Sunday, can you tell us why you're hiding Bibles?
Excuse me.
Is this a fetish? What do you have? What's going on? Anyway, so we're in Adventures in Woke World right now. You'll be proud to know that once again, dudes who think they're chicks are beating chicks, real chicks, in sports. So, this might also qualify for jackassery.
Oh,
so,
it definitely does.
Go ahead and hit it when you're ready. Yeah. You have too much fun with all those buttons over there. So, story on Daily Caller. Trans woman who ran the New York City Marathon as a man decided he's a chick and ran past 14,000 women in the London Marathon most recently when competing in the female category. So a biological male identifying as a transgender woman topped out nearly 14,000 women in the London Marathon after competing in the New York Marathon against men. Glenique Frank, who was born Glenn Frank, but now it's Glenique Frank, finished in 6,160th place. But when you consider that was against 20,123 women, it means he's in the upper percentiles. He beat out 14,000 women, thereabouts, in the London Marathon this past weekend. Frank spoke to a BBC reporter saying things like, "London's the best, girl power." He says girl power.
He said girl power?
Yeah, he said girl power. Anyway, the runner was draped in a transgender flag and wore rainbow armbands in the pattern of the LGBT flag, and the London race is the runner's 17th marathon and one of six majors that Frank is competing in, Frank being the last name. Frank ran as a man in the New York City Marathon just last November, finishing in 14,000th place out of 26,539 men. Social media shows photos of Frank running marathons as a balding man, and now he's running as a chick. Two-time British Olympian Mara Yamauchi criticized him on social media, basically pointing out this man ran in yesterday's London Marathon as a female and beat 14,000 women. and says that this shouldn't be allowed. And UK Athletics actually excludes biological males from elite female competition. But Frank was somehow able to get his name in the women's list and ran the race as a woman. Whoop, whoop.
Way to go, dude.
Yeah, I know. Aren't you so proud? You're one of the best women out there in the race. Speaking of which, apparently, if you've been the victim of torture or gender-based violence, or you're pregnant, that those things right there qualify you, if a certain bill passes, would qualify you for expedited entry into the United States as an illegal. But let's don't stop there, because on par with all that, on par with the victims of torture, are LGBTQ.
I saw this article, and I was like, all they have to do is say, I'm gay.
That's exactly right.
And then they're, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you can come on in.
This is a real bill. This is a bill in the U.S. House right now, sponsored by Democrat Rep. Pramila Jayapal, known liberal, Democrat Senator Cory Booker, Spartacus, that's who's Spartacus, Cory Booker, and Democrat Rep. Adam Smith of Washington. And it would literally force federal officials to not detain what they call vulnerable migrants. One of the categories is LGBTQ.
But why?
I guess the Human Rights Campaign is funding the re-election campaign for Cory Booker.
Wow.
Story on Daily Caller. Go check it out. It came out yesterday. It says the bill would create what's called a presumption of release and impose a higher burden of proof to detain primary caregivers in vulnerable populations, including LGBTQ survivors of torture and gender-based violence. And this is definitely an example of jackassery. Cory Booker. Dude, that dude is such a flamer. I mean, he is something else. But yeah, Cory Booker, Spartacus. It's just hard, man. I look at this and think. So what they're really saying is, in fact, this article actually points out there were four members of the Border Patrol who were testifying before Congress that this bill, if it passes, they say they rarely see anyone coming across the border claiming to be LGBTQ, and they know for a fact if this bill passes, there'll be tons of them. All you got to say is, yeah, today I'm gay. Okay, please enter in. At your leisure, you may find all the resources of our nation at your disposal. No passport? No. Swam the river? Yes. Just cross the gate without ID? It's okay. Come on in, because you're gay, and that's all that matters. Okay, I think I almost want to throw the radio at that one. But that would be the whole studio. So
right, don't do that. But, I mean, absolutely, it's completely absurd that they would even consider doing that, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Oh, I'm gay today.
It's predictable.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you can see the outcome ahead and you know how bad it's going to be, but you still go forward anyway, you're in jackassery at that point.
Oh, yes.
All right, just so you know, Mother's Day is now controversial.
Of course.
I love my mother. You love your mother. We celebrate Mother's Day. Yes. Charlene's a great mom. Courtney's a great mom. Story on hotair.com.
Moms.
Mom's Day should not be controversial.
It should not be.
What should be controversial is forgetting Mom's Day. Just don't do it. Did you know that Mother's Day is controversial? Hotair.com, story dated 2 days ago. Corporate America has, for some reason, decided that Mother's Day is a sensitive time, a challenging time, a difficult time, so they're inviting customers to opt out of emails for that triggering of all days. And the article says, no, we're not kidding. It's ironic, it says, in many ways, not the least of which is that a lot of us, you know, find going to our email boxes that we have, you know, 20,000 unread emails, and they wind up as junk. But then you get one that gets through, and it talks about all the things you can buy from Mother, but if it's challenging for you or too sensitive, you're welcome to opt out of this email. How about just telling us what's 40% off is all we want to know. So, but yeah, that's Mother's Day is apparently an oppressive thing. In fact, this one woman says she actually got an email from a company called, which one was it? Passion Planner, where you can order like journals and planning, you know, planners. I guess being a passion planner what are you scheduling with that? But anyway, nonetheless, it said, we recognize that Mother's Day can be a very difficult time for some of our PashFam family. And if you'd rather not receive emails from us, feel free to opt out. One example. But yeah, what we're looking at here is that basically the left has designed an opportunity now to once again attack the family. I'm just saying, once again, they're trying to find a way to go ahead and just, you know, it's probably some alphabet person movement that's out there trying to do away with Mother's Days, because what we should have, you know, now that I think about it, Boomer, the reality is if they're going to do this right, it needs to be Birthing Parent Day.
Birthing Parent Day.
Birthing Parent Day. if you've never thought of that, if we coined it first, I want credit.
Birthing Parent Day.
We need a new sound effect for that one. Let's just stick with jackassery. Go yes. for it. Hit yes. it right now. That's just. Oh my gosh. All right, listen, we're going to go to a break right now, and I will come right back and just regale you with things like, oh, I don't know, what's Pete Buttigieg up to right now? Well, he's saving the world from gender inequity with crash test dummies. I kid you not. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, listen, we got top of the hour. You're going to want to stay tuned, because when we come back from the 4 o'clock break, we'll have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson phoning in. I think we need to jump over to the text lines, man. So the text lines have exploded. Boom. Do we have a boom sound? Text lines. Boomer's got so many buttons. He's got a phone call going. All right, I'll go without the boom. So Sam from Priceville, I don't know what you said to me, Sam, so I'm not sure I should repeat that. but anyway, Sam from Priceville, glad you're texting in. Kenneth from Hartzell just flat out says nope, and I'm pretty sure he's talking about some of the wokeness I just quoted. Colin from Decatur just texted in and says, I cannot imagine how ridiculous it would be if that bill actually passes. Said, I'm getting real tired of actual U.S. citizens getting treated like second class by our government. I mean, how much better off will we be if those resources were spent on actual citizens? Totally, totally agree. Scott from Decatur is picking up our reception over yonder in the Shoals of Florence area, 92.5 FM, 770 AM. Glad you're on it, Scott. Alan from Madison says, he says dumbassery are ruffian vocabulary, and we got to put a glossary together of all of our terms. Allie from Athens says, true story. When I was in high school, someone came and preached at our church, and they preached out of Mao's Little Red Book. No joke. Wow. No kidding. I'd like to know whether they were invited back. That's the kicker. G.I. Joe from Birmingham says, so you're an XY person. I don't know why would he say that to me? Okay. Anita from South Huntsville. I thought biology class was the only place where you could define a woman or a female. Well, apparently you can define it in the Congress, too, since you can pass bills that allow things to happen that shouldn't happen. Amanda from Decatur. Boomer laughing. Try not to laugh so loud. It's so hilarious. He's cracking up. She says, It's true. There have been a few today.
I sit over here and I'm like, oh, man, I can't laugh.
We got a caller on the line?
Yes, sir.
I'll jump on it. Colin from Decatur. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Bill. It's the first time I've heard about that bill you just mentioned, and I was so mad that I had to text in and actually call and say something. It's ridiculous if that passes.
Yeah, are you talking about the one about the...
I get a free pass?
You talking about the one, the LGBTQ stuff on the border?
Yeah. Like the fact that they can compare that to torture. I mean, I used to be a government contractor. I've seen people that have actually been tortured.
Yeah.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And then those resources could be spent, one, handling our actual ridiculous non-existent southern border, or, I don't know, overhaul the VA and make it work, or take care of our own homeless. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's absolutely maddening, man. I mean, that's why it qualifies for our jackassery catalog. But you are absolutely right, dude. And and by the way, thank you for your service. But you are it's unbelievable what people like Cory Booker will try and do. Well, did we lose? All right, hey Colin, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. Absolutely. Have a great day. I mean, I didn't even get to all the texts because I'm going to tell you right now, Woke World has woke some people up. But next story I've got for you, you'll be excited to know that Pete Buttigieg is still on the job. Story from the Political Insider dated 2 days ago. See, this is a lot of fresh stuff here, man. We're rolling out only the freshest woke. I mean, when you come in and check our woke, it's fresh. All right, so Pete Buttigieg is praised for fighting gender inequity by investing in female crash test dummies. This is important. So crash test dummies, those are important. I get it. We use them to check and make sure that vehicle's actually going to... But you got to have one... But then here's my question. How do you define female crash test dummy?
Oh. Yes, how do you?
Pray tell.
Oh.
What if you're just a birthing person crash test dummy?
I mean, what does the dummy have to do? Identify as the female?
I suppose.
They're going to write female.
And just in with Maybelline lipstick.
See
how I did that? Yeah, so Representative Rosa DeLauro, by the way, she's a hoot. If you ever seen Rosa DeLauro, she's the congresswoman who looks like she's about 70 and she has blue hair. Representative Rosa DeLauro praised Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg for his plan to invest in female crash dummies, something she claims is an important step to fight gender inequity. She is referring to Buttigieg's current request before Congress for $20 million for the DOT to develop the dummies. So
they're going to spend $20 million to develop the female dummies.
They have spent all this time trying to convince us that male, female are interchangeable. And now they need a separate crash test dummy, though, for $20 million.
What's going through their heads when they're going through all this stuff?
Can I get me a jackassery?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Our pastor would say, can I get a good amen? I'm going to say, can I get a good jackassery? There you go. It says, while many people would roll their eyes at yet another virtue-signaling attempt at wokeism from the Biden administration, DeLauro finds the push for gender-specific crash dummies to be a watershed moment in the fight for equality. It says, you also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crises, including the critical funding that would accelerate development. This is an area I've written to you about, the use of female dummies in crash testing. By the way, I saw the video of this, and he just sat there nodding his head affirmative like he was so glad she was bringing this point up. Well, I didn't even get to all the stories. We're going to go take the break here momentarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I could tell you about the fired Big Lots manager who lost her job because she went outside and stopped the person from stealing stuff and got the cart back that they were trying to take with them. Yeah, lost her job. Or the fact that the Christian University has now blocked a survivor of the Maoist China who's giving speeches. Or the Portland police who were decrying the fact that they had to sit through woke LGBTQ training to teach them how to be sensitive to the LGBTQ2IA+ queer policy introduction and training. Portland police. They're hemorrhaging people over there. All right, folks. Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned. Coming right back with the Grand Council. We'll be right back.
You're listening live
to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, what's that time? One of my favorite times every single week. So on Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I got two brethren in talk radio from different spots around the state. And we get together, we call it the Grand Council. So let me just go ahead and call the roll and see if they do be here. So from FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile, also as the executive editor for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
He is present and sounds like he's on the phone today. And then from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh!
All right, stand at ease. Let's do this thing. I pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council. Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Da-da-da! All right, a quorum being called. Let's move on. Dale Jackson, first question, what you got?
Yes, Jeff Poor took umbrage with this earlier, so let's just go ahead and get it all out in the open. Terry Collins, a state representative from Decatur, has proposed a bill. I think Darren Garrett is in on it, too. Adding 30 days to the school year, if the school district wants to, opening up the door to some of them possibly changing to a year-round school system. A little more money in the state would be allocated to such decisions. I love this. If we can't have school choice, let's try something unique. Jeff says, no, Dale, no. What about you?
So you're asking me first what I think about it?
Yeah.
I think this is crap. Why would you do this? So let me get this straight. You can't get us out of 50 most days of the year, so you need a few extra days of the year so we can stay at 50. I mean, if we're not going to pass meaningful school choice, then what's the good of having more school days? I think all they're doing is trying to find a reason to plus up the education budget. And then I remember when I was a kid, and maybe I'm the oldest one in the group here, but when I was a kid, we actually had 3 months of summer, and dadgum if we didn't turn out okay. So I think this is a horrible idea. I think it's an opportunity for the teachers' union to exert more control. I have no idea why this would be needed. If somebody could explain it to me, I'd be glad to hear it. Jeff Poor, chime in and support me, my brother.
This is nothing but Dale Jackson looking at ways to absolve him of parental duties by sending Grant to school year-round so he doesn't have to watch him during the summer. And it's the same thing. With everything he does, it's self-serving, and he knows it. We did this 3 years ago when they started talking about year-round school. And here we are. We're doing it again. It's a dumb idea. Just stop.
So Dale, he has now called out not only your support of the bill, but your actual parenting skills. Your response?
100% correct. No argument at all. The actual reason for it is the idea that there's too much brain drain over the summer, and they need to shorten the summers a little bit. And adding more days would allow them to do that. There's also a plan that some schools could do this without even adding days, and that's probably preferable. You spread out the breaks a little bit, and you do more breaks each month, keep the same number of days, but we don't need the summer. I mean, Grant will not be out, you know, doing farming, which was the original idea, right? So let's do what some of the folks in the other rest of the world does and go to school more year-round. That's the idea. I like it. I like it. It's a chance to change things a little bit. If we can't have school choice, this is a good plan B. I'd still rather have school choice.
It's not a good plan B. It's a plan Z. It's like it's an entirely different track. It's not even on point. I look at this and think, this is a waste of freaking time. The same nation that put people on the moon did it back when we had 9 months of school.
When there are cultural reasons that we do it this way, the summer vacations, summer jobs, and, I mean, you just want government to do everything, Dale.
And yes.
You want year-round public school to cede that time to the government instead of ceding it to what kids could be doing. I know there's some places where, the kids get a little rowdy during the summertime, but that's not what I mean, that's not how it's. We just can't just give to the government and expect them to fix.
Well, that's not what would happen. If it's the same number of school days, you're not giving anything away. If it's 30 more, you're giving a little away. I'll agree with that. But I'm not no government. I'm for good government. I'm for making things better, even though they can't be perfect.
Yeah, but I think 30 more days of failure is not a good idea. So right now, I would say that 30 more days is a bad thing, and I'm going to table this one and move on. Jeff Poore, next question. What do you got?
Chairman Donnie Chastine of Geneva County funded the PRICE Act today. To the ETF, he's the chairman of the Education Policy Committee in the Senate. I thought this thing would get through the Senate. I thought it would die in the House, but it may not even make it out of committee on school choice and the PRICE Act. What say you?
Yeah, so I had Terry Lathan on the show just a little while ago. She was one of the speakers there at the hearing. Jeff, you were there. The thing that really gets me is it's very rare to see a bill go to a committee, become to a public hearing in the committee, and then to have the committee chairman who just hosted the public hearing announce that he's punting it to another committee. Mm-hmm. Now, it's being punted over to Arthur Orr's Education Budget Committee, so I guess my sense is Senator Orr, being the budget chair, said, if you're going to do something with education, send it to me, and maybe Chastine said, yes, sir. But the reality is that's a highly unusual tactic, and it indicates to me that we got problems. Dale?
Well, I think the thing has problems anyway, even though I think we all agree it's probably a much better plan than we have right now. We should do it, but it doesn't sound like it's moving in the right direction, does it?
No, not yet. Although I will say, though, my understanding is the room was full. I mean, a huge amount of support, lots of applause, a very motivated crowd. There's more energy for it this year than I've ever seen.
Hold a hearing on whether or not transgender surgery should be allowed, and you'll have all the transgender surgery advocates in the world in there, and it's still not going to be allowed.
There you are. Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
Well, so I Stutz tried to get it in the Education Budget Committee first, and they told him no, go to policy. So they're giving him the runaround on this. So it makes me think that they're trying to save some of these guys from having to take a tough vote.
Well, I agree. But, you know, the end result is some of those folks are on both committees. There's like three or four members that are on both committees. And now that we're going to have is an entirely new public hearing. And you're going to wind up having probably even more supporters of the bill showing up. So they may have opened themselves up for a firestorm. He could have tabled this. He could have given it a non-favorable report so it doesn't get out of committee. But he punted it. And so now it's still got legs, and it may get more legs because of this. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, real quick, before we move on, let me ask you then. You think more people will show up the second time around? Because it's meant to kind of drain the support. Oh, I got to go back to Montgomery and go sit through another one of these committee hearings and hear everybody talk. It just seems like they're doing this to kind of whittle down the support.
Well, time is the enemy of good legislation, but I would dare say this: it depends upon the grassroots leadership. So, if the folks who organized today's gathering can get really busy and inflame the passions of the people who are supportive, who just didn't make it out today for whatever reason, I think you'll have a bigger turnout. But it's going to depend. It's going to be a leadership issue. Terry Lathan and others are going to have to really be on their game. But I think they can get bigger support there the next time around. Yeah, they certainly can. All right, let me jump on to a question here. This one got some attention on my show earlier. Right before we went on the air, it broke that apparently corporate America has not learned from the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney tragedy. And today it was announced that Maybelline Makeup has Dylan Mulvaney as one of their spokespeople for women's makeup. Give me your unabashed thoughts, Dale Jackson.
I am done buying Maybelline makeup for me and my son. I am out completely. There's no way. Look, this is going to be a little harder to be successful, to be honest. And this is not meant as a slight of the fair sex, but for some reason they're more tolerable of this garbage. Also, Bud Light's easy to boycott because you can just say, I'll have a Bud Light. Never mind. Miller High Life, please. And that's the end of that. That's easy enough to do. I'm not sure about makeup. I know people have the makeup they like and all this. Jeff is constantly trying to find makeup to endorse him. So I know he has his favorite brands and stuff. So it's a little harder to boycott.
Oh, Jeff, the accusations fly today. Your response. Did we lose Jeff?
He hung up.
we just lost Jeff.
Answer your own question.
I'll jump in. I'll jump in while we're doing it. Boomer, you check on Jeff. Now we got a busy signal. What the heck, Boom? All right. So while we try to regather one of the members of our council, we still have a quorum. I'll move forward. This is ridiculous, man. This is nonsense. And when you look at it, you think, first of all, it's a dude modeling women's makeup. But then not only that, it's a dude who does a really bad parody of like a 13-year-old giggly girl. And so women everywhere are sick of it. I do think it will impact sales, at least for a period of time. But the question is, why did they do it after watching what happened with Bud Light?
Wasn't it first, though? I mean, I think they did this like a month ago, and people are just now talking about it.
Wow.
I mean, not that that's better. It's still stupid. But the timeline here is kind of questionable because it all matters what will people do with this next. And then there's like the Nike thing where he's working out, where he's like mocking women and stuff like this. And it's just very, very silly.
It's awful. Well, I think we got Jeff back. So, hey, Jeff, did you hear the question about Maybelline makeup?
Yeah. So I just at least there's a market there. Drag queens wear makeup, I guess. it doesn't bother me as much. I just wear the makeup. But Bud Light is, they're forcing it. And they're trying to force it on us. It's a total different thing you're trying to do there. It's the intention. With Maybelline, it just seems less offensive.
Less offensive? They went straight to women and Jeff. I got to disagree, man. So they literally went straight to a women's product and pretended they had a woman modeling it and trying to make that accessible to more women. And I think that it's more insulting.
Well,
I think to Bud Light.
Maybe they want to make it accessible to guys that think they're girls too. I mean, it's a free market economy, and they can make another buck. God bless Maybelline. Let the drag queens buy the eyeliner or whatever the hell it is they sell.
See, I told you he's angling for an endorsement.
I'm just saying, man. You've gotten soft, Jeff Poore. All right, hey, listen, we're going to a break right now. We'll let Jeff reconsider his position in life. And in the meantime,
we'll hear
our sponsors. And we will be right back with round two of the Grand Council. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world, one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back to round two of the Grand Council. I've got Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and writing for Yellowhammer News, and I've got Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and also the executive editor for 1819 News. Round two, Dale Jackson, what do you got?
You know, Jeff accused me of wanting to take away the responsibility of my son. And as we were talking in the first segment, he put a whole roll of toilet paper in the toilet. So there we go. My question is this. Nikki Haley is debasing herself right now by saying that she tweeted this to Disney. Hey, Disney, my home state will happily accept your 70,000 jobs if you leave Florida. We've got great, great weather, great people, and always a great day in South Carolina. South Carolina's not woke, but we're not sanctimonious about it either. Is anything worth debasing yourself this much as this pathetic woman is doing?
Well, so she just virtue signaled to the moderates and the left, and then she used the word sanctimonious, which is code. That's exactly what that was the phrase that or the name that Trump gave to Ron DeSantis, Ron DeSanctimonious. So that tells me she's looking for a VP job, and that's what I see. And then I also look at it and think, what a crap thing to say, because first of all, nobody in conservative land believes for a second that what Ron DeSantis has done has been wrong, and I think it's getting to the point. That I'll be honest with you. I think Ron DeSantis needs to cool it back and take his victories. But right now, we just found out like an hour ago that Disney has filed suit against the state of Florida now. But yeah, Nikki Haley, that was a chump move, Jeff.
No, I agree. Who's it for other than Donald Trump? But it reminds me of like Carly Fiorina when her alma mater was playing Iowa in the I think the Rose Bowl, and she just all of a sudden she's an Iowa Hawkeye fan, and it just stuff like that. It just reeks of phoniness, and people snip it out, and it falls flat when you do it.
Yeah, it just does. Your own question, Dale. What you got?
Yeah, it's just embarrassing. Completely embarrassing. She's really trying hard to get on a ticket that's going to get crushed by Joe Biden.
All right. Well, let me take the next question then, because that's a great segue. So yesterday, Joe Biden, my office manager here at Right Side, says he just phoned it in. He announced he's running to be the two-term leader of the free world, the president of the whole freaking United States, the occupier of the Oval Office. And what did he do? Early morning video. Has there ever been a more lackluster announcement? And then my kind of follow-up question with that is he really going to make it through the election? Do we think this is just like a placeholder to keep him from being a lame duck? Jeff, you go first.
No, it might be the most lackluster campaign rollout. I mean, he could have gone on any media outlet. Like, he could have gone on night, like he could have gone on Colbert or Fallon or something like that, and that would have been a bigger splash. So I just think it's indicative of what the campaign is. I'm not Trump. Vote for me.
Yeah, yeah, Dale.
He remains not Trump, so congratulations to him for that. And that's about all he's trying to be. The other day the press secretary talked about people's bones melting because Republicans want them to. I mean, these people are out of their minds, but all they have to do is keep saying MAGA, Trump, MAGA, Trump, and then Trump's going to stand up and say MAGA, Trump, MAGA, Trump, and that's going to be that's our election. So way to go, dummies.
All right, Jeff, last question with about a minute and a half.
Fox News firing Tucker Carlson.
Wow.
I'm a little biased because I worked for Tucker for 3 years, but Fox News not to be relevant. As relevant as it once was, 10 into this national election cycle. What say you? I mean, y'all are outside the bubble.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it and think you have the number one news show in all of network news, and you fire the guy. And you have nothing to say about it. You just say thank you for your time. And I find that to be disingenuous. I mean, I think the viewers were owed better than that. If you got to part ways, I understand business decisions are made sometimes. But I look at this and think this was a loser way to handle it. And then, oh, by the way, I think it also makes Fox, you know, much less of a force in the market for conservatives. Dale.
In media, you don't get a chance to say goodbye after they fire your ass. That's number one. Number two, it sucks. It's absolutely terrible. Bill O'Reilly was gone. Tucker Carlson picked it up and ran with it. There is not a successor, I think, obviously available. It's either going to be Kilmeade or Jesse Waters, and I just don't think it's the same thing. They've really hurt themselves significantly.
I think Will Cain's got a shot at it. But all right, Jeff, your own question with the music playing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be as relevant. You lose your top talent, the luster's off.
Yeah, I agree. Shines off the apple. All right, fellas, appreciate both of you. Thank you for making time. The Grand Council, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, The Jeff Poor Show, and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson, 92.5 FM, 770 AM, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News, and me. And we'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just Plane Right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about our signal goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, I got to tell you guys, man, within that listening area that I just mentioned is the Elm Foundation. And I, if you haven't seen their stuff yet, I would encourage you to check out their website. The Elm Foundation, it can be found at Elm, E-L-M-H-S-V, as in Elm Huntsville, E-L-M-H-S-V.org. So Elm Foundation, Elm stands for Expect Little Miracles. Elm Foundation is just so cool. So they're out there making differences in people's lives, and I mean like in reality. They're not just throwing money at it like a government program might. They are literally walking folks through the concepts of becoming productive parts of society again. They're getting them off the streets. They're providing accountability. They're helping them set milestones, make plans, get job skills. And they're doing all of this as a 501c3, and they're doing it well. So the Elm Foundation, if you ever donated a dollar to them, and I would encourage you to do that, but if you ever donated a dollar to them, it goes straight into programming 100% because they have a benefactor who has already made sure that all their administrative costs stay covered. So everything else that they bring in is just for helping folks. So check them out. They're very cool. They're based out of Huntsville. It's called the Elm Foundation. You can find them at their website, elmhsv. That's elmhsv.org. And if you talk to them, please tell them you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. That would mean a lot. Okay. It's a triple dipper day, bud. Ooh. Wow. How we cram this much stuff in and still get a triple dipper?
We crammed in a lot.
We got 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag is what I like to say. So my third part of the show, my triple dipper, number three, I'm calling it Face Them Down. So here's the thing. I was looking through some stuff this morning when I was resourcing, found a story I liked, realized I found another one that I liked, and then realized what they were people who were standing up for truth and doing it well. How do we do that? And I got to thinking, and here's the reality. You are going to be confronted at some point as a conservative by liberals because that's what they do. And you as a conservative need to know how to espouse your opinions. I mean, if it's a matter of faith, if it's a matter of, you know, political persuasion, if it's a matter of public policy, if it's the question of transgender surgeries on kids, if it's school choice, if it's, you know, fiscal policy, it doesn't matter. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. We as conservatives, and there's various different aspects of conservatism, but in terms of overall the broad umbrella of conservatism, we have got to do a better job of presenting why we believe what we believe. Got to. Bottom line, it's even scriptural if you get down to it. 1 Peter 3:15, I think it is, it says we should be ready at all times to give an accounting for the faith that is in us and do so with gentleness and respect. All right, that's about faith. But I think it can apply to anything. It's good, solid wisdom. How do you do that? Well, the first thing I would say is this. Know what your principles are, all right? So, and I don't mean that lightly. I mean literally. Know what the unchangeable things are for you. Like for me, when I went down to Montgomery as a state senator, if you brought me a pro-life bill, a raising taxes bill, I knew where I stood. Don't even try to mess with me. You already know my vote. Why are you asking? But if you brought me, say, economic development bill, I'd look at it and go, huh, I'm in the gray area. What do I know about this? And I'd have to go to my principles. Does this bill raise taxes? Does this bill provide corporate welfare or are there checks and balances? Does this bill in any way deal with constitutional issues or in some way infringe upon them? And so that's what I'm saying. Know your principles because those bedrocks of why we believe what we believe, those are how we form the basis for being able to present what we believe. And then there's going to be the nuances. So first of all, you get your principles in place, man. You lock them down. You know what they are. You can look yourself in the eye in the mirror and you can say them back to the mirror. You know your position. They can't move you because principles are unchangeable. But then you got to know how to present it. And I don't know if you've ever been around them, but if you've ever been around somebody who they have principles, and they got zero communication skills. And I don't mean like they're not good at public speaking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, could you get on an elevator with somebody and the time it takes to ride to the 10th floor, give them a nugget of why you believe what you believe? Could you do that in a quick time? Or would you be like like raving at them? Would you be like in their face? Ah! Would you be, you know, like screaming at them and trying to tell them why they should believe like you believe, or they're going to, you know, die in a pile? I don't know. There are ways to present. If we go back to that reference a minute ago that I was used in Scripture, it says with gentleness and respect. That doesn't mean being meek and timid. What it means is in an even-keeled, even, you know, a tempered and knowledgeable way, and with respect to the fact that they may have their own opinion, tell them why you believe what you believe. So I got a couple of pieces here. The first one is about Tucker Carlson being let go. People are like, what just happened? And I mean like big names in conservatism. So story, this, by the way, this came from Salon, so take it with a grain of salt. Phil, did you go to Salon? Yes, I did. All right, so Salon has an article that came out yesterday. Title of it, Fox News has gone woke. It's in quotation marks. The knives are out in Trump world over Tucker Carlson's ouster. Talks about the fact that many who are on what they call the right wing were shocked when suddenly we didn't have Tucker Carlson on at night. It was unexpected. Nobody saw it coming. Goes on to say that even former President Donald Trump said he was shocked during an interview on Newsmax with Greg Kelly. I like Greg Kelly. He used to be a Fox guy himself. I think Greg Kelly was a retired Marine. And his dad, by the way, Greg Kelly's dad was the chief of police for New York City. Commissioner Kelly did an amazing job. Former President Donald Trump said he was shocked during an interview with Newsmax's Greg Kelly. He says, well, I'm shocked and surprised. He's a very good person, a very good man, a very talented. You know, he had very high ratings. I don't know if it's voluntary or was he fired, but I think Tucker's been terrific. He says he's been, especially over the last year or so, he's been terrific to me. And then Kelly pointed out that, you know, they're hemorrhaging money over there right now. Fox's shares dropped $1 billion in value. $1 billion in value the day it was announced they fired Tucker Carlson. Charlie Kirk spoke out about it. Bill O'Reilly spoke out about it. Megyn Kelly spoke out about it. Senator J.D. Vance spoke out about it. Matt Gaetz spoke out. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke out about it. So all of those that are considered to be Freedom Caucus, very conservative folks, are looking at this going, what the frick has happened? Matt Gaetz posted a video thanking Carlson, and J.D. Vance called him the most courageous person in America. Donald Trump Jr. says this is he was an actual thought leader in conservatism. But here's the thing. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for all her warts and blemishes, she made a statement. I thought it was great. She said, Americans no longer blindly watch the news like they did decades ago. They only watch the ones who have the courage to tell the truth. And Americans are about to quit watching. Here's the thing. If you want to draw an audience in, if you want to get people to swing to your opinion, you've got to have the ability to present it and present it in a way that can be received and present it in a way that makes sense and present it in a way that indicates that you have principles that back it. And that's one of the things I liked about Tucker, me personally. This is not just a Tucker segment, but I'm just telling you, there's that. But I got another article here. It was also on Fox. And it's by somebody. Oh, actually, this person was actually interviewed by Tucker. I saw the interview. But a lady by the name of Mary Harrington has just written a book called Feminism Against Progress, meaning it's a book kind of calling out feminism and how they're really not there for women. She starts off by saying, 15 years ago, I was living in a queer commune and calling myself Sebastian. She's come a long way. She said in the interview, and I watched it, that she basically had a child, and it changed her entire perspective. And so she's now written a book. And I would imagine, though, that she's not entirely a conservative. But what's happened is her principles have been solidified around the beauty of being a mom. And she wrote a book called Feminism Against Progress. And it was due to launch. And the venue that was supposed to host the book launch just canceled her. They canceled her. Why? Because they were facing social media pressure. They were scared. She says, what was my thought crime? Saying in public that humans can't change sex and that performing gender surgery on kids is butchery. But she went on to make the most amazing statements about why she believes what she believes, and she did it so well. And she used to be an activist. She knows how to rail against the machine. But she presented it in such a way that it was very hearable. But I think the guy who does it best, the one that I appreciate in terms of his presentation, is Matt Walsh from Daily Wire. You got that clip ready, Boomer? So I've got an audio clip. Just north of our border in Tennessee, they were having hearings on whether or not to pass a bill that would prevent the mutilation of children by having all these transgender surgeries on minors, right? Matt Walsh spoke to the Tennessee State Legislature. For those who don't know, the Daily Wire is based in Nashville. Matt Walsh spoke to the Tennessee Legislature and dismantled them clearly, unequivocally, with principle and with respect. Go ahead and play it.
A summary of your educational background or your healthcare education experience?
Mr. Walsh, you're recognized.
My experience in healthcare?
Your educational background. I'm just curious. You've testified as to a lot of your own research, so I'm curious for what purpose you do that and what background you have to qualify you to speak to that.
Well, my background that qualifies me to speak to this is that I'm a human being with a brain and common sense, and I have a soul. And so, therefore, I think it's a really bad idea to chemically castrate children. That is my experience. I didn't go to college, but I did go to school long enough to learn how to read, so I can read the data for myself, and that's exactly what I've done.
Representative Clemens, here I
go. And for what purpose do you conduct your research and use this brain of yours?
Mr. Walsh, you're recognized.
I use it for the purpose of trying to protect children from being castrated and mutilated. That's one of the things I try to do.
What kind of soulless freak is John Ray Clemens who could sit there hearing all this stuff and take the side of the castrators of children? It's just beyond. But Matt Walsh is the villain. In another hearing, Walsh left another Tennessee lawmaker, this one called Caleb Hammer, completely speechless.
Just curious of your definition of if you feel like people are adults at 16, should...
Well, people are adults at 18, but actually your brain is not fully developed until you're 25. So we should be having a conversation about whether we should even be doing these surgeries to people at 18. But certainly before 18, it's absurd. I mean, do you think that a 16-year-old can meaningfully consent to having their body parts removed? Do you? No?
Stop it there. Stop it there. You got the crickets? Play the crickets for me. I got crickets. He literally, the legislator who had the audacity to ask him these questions, when he got the even-tempered, very well-read answer, sat there in silence, not knowing what to do. But see, that's what happens. When you're based in principle, and when you have these bedrock principles upon which you stand and they can't move you, and then you research. And by the way, did you hear the fact that he's not even been to college? Listen, there's a passage in Acts chapter 4 that talks about Peter and John standing in front of the Sanhedrin, the educated religious leaders of the day. And it says at one point that they recognized them, Peter and John, as being untrained and uneducated men, but they knew they had been with Jesus. And that's so what I'm saying is this. You do not have to have a college degree to be an expert on something, but don't go in wingding it. Don't go into all of the don't say so inside your bubble that you don't research to make sure you know what both sides are saying, and then form your opinions and be able to evenly and directly apply those. And man, I'm telling you right now, you will unhinge them. They won't know what to do. So my encouragement to you today on Triple Dipper number 3 is know why you believe what you believe. But it's not just important enough to know why you believe it. Know how to present it. How do you tell people? How do you say it? How do you say it in a way that can be heard? How do you say it in a way that carries the day and unhinges them to the point that they sit there not knowing what to do now because you just answered a question so far better than they thought you could? You do that. You pick your topic and you do that. And be prepared for counterpoint, but do that. And I guarantee you, you will make a difference. All right. Take me to a break, brother. That was fun. Matt Walsh, man. I'm pretty sure he's one of the heroes of conservatism right now. And if Tucker needs to be replaced, bring Matt Walsh in for a demo. I think that would work out. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, folks, you just came out of a break where you could hear our advertisers. And listen, Right Side Radio, we are indeed a separate business, all right? We make our living in a variety of ways. We're a 501c3, Right Side is. We're not owned by the stations. So folks support Right Side, but we also have people that advertise. We sell our own advertising. The only way to get there, if you want your show on Right Side, is to contact us. Go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and you can click on the spot that says advertising. Send us a message, and we will get back with you ASAP. And it happens all the time, and we've got some great folks that are coming on board here pretty soon who did the exact same thing. So if you believe that our show aligns with your values and you're going to advertise your business, then why not advertise it on Right Side Radio? Because we cover over half the state. We'd love to have you on the team. So, yeah, check us out. Send us a message through the website at rightsideradio.org, and we will get right back with you. A great show, Boomer. I mean, this has been one of those that just seemed like it just kind of flew by. I mean,
flew by and smooth sailing.
And content.
And content out the wazoo.
I'm saying. And there's so many text messages I didn't even get to.
Oh, yeah. There's no way you can get to all of them.
I mean, we have scads, hundreds of scads in our texting system. Yes. Now. Like how many, where are we on the downloads for the podcast too?
138
some odd thousand downloads some odd thousand. Of the podcast. And the brand new one just came out from The Right Life, you and yep. McQueen.
That's right. Today, this morning.
Sweet. Hey, brand new texter on the line, Dan from Florence. He actually wins the text wars today. So great text. So we talked about crash test dummies earlier, right? So Dan from Florence says, because we're talking about Booty Judge wants to spend $20 million taxpayer dollars to develop female versions of crash test dummies because, you know, apparently men and women are different, they say, even though I'd swear he would argue the other. But so Dan from Florence texts in and says, I understand that the whole gender reassignment surgery is expensive, but I'm sure it costs less than $20 million. So why not send one of the male crash test dummies over to one of those hospitals that do that sort of thing? Just go ahead, man.
That is just great.
Just let it transition. Why not? Dan from Florence, we're glad you're in the system, man. Glad to have you on board. The text went on and on and on, and I'm just telling you, I mean, I had any number of people. Rita from Scottsboro, Jeff is so wrong. Maybelline mocking women with that caricature of a man is completely offensive. She says he'll never buy their crap again. Mike from Coxie, Alabama says, this dude going to be the next face of women's products like Kotex? I don't know, but I hope not, and I just rather not know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
Mm-mm.
Can we just stop now, please? What else we got, man? Mike from Muscle Shoals was in there. He's I can't even get to all of it.
It just goes on and on.
Yeah, it does. So anyway, the bottom line is this. We have an amazing audience, and we know it. And Boomer and I are back here every day at 2 because this is a mission, man. This ain't small fry. This is real deal, and it's a war. And they want us to back down, and they want us to be quiet, and they want us to pretend that they can have our kids and it'll be okay. And I'm just telling you. Not while we're here, because like my wife always says, there's actually more of us than there are of them. All right, so you guys hold the fort and get ready for the fight. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. We will see you then. Have a good night.